I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon. It's 3:30 at KSL News Radio. Jeff Kaplan here. A few clouds, 93 degrees.
And a crash on Wall Avenue in Ogden. I'm Steve Carlson.
KSL's top story. Just minutes after a meeting about Utah's inland port began, it was over. Abruptly. Everybody was told to get out. The meeting was relocated to a police precinct to avoid protesters attending, but with no success. One protester was arrested, everyone else told to leave by police. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson is live with the story. Paul, what started this?
Well, Jeff, it started after police approached two people that were standing on the side of the room inside the police precinct building on 700 South, and officers asked them to leave because of fire codes. One of those people, Ethan Peterson, is the same man who handcuffed himself to a door inside the Capitol building during a previous meeting.
Handcuffing yourself to a door is not violence. Sorry, that's not violence. What is violence is having cops hit your pressure points, slam you into walls.
Peterson says there were other people standing in the room who were not asked to leave. The meeting was moved to inside the police building because group members felt unsafe due to previous protests. Reporting live, Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
You know, every time we do one of these stories, we get asked, what is an inland port again? There's no water here. It's a centralized place for transportation of goods in and out of the city by truck, by rail, whatever. KSL News Time 3:31.
A Salt Lake mayoral primary. Special coverage on Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio.
We're still awaiting the final announcement of which two candidates will be in the November election. Maria Chaleos has the latest.
Jeff, if the vote totals hold, Erin Mendenhall will finish in first place in yesterday's primary for mayor of Salt Lake. She has served 6 years on the city council. KSL News Radio's Dan Bama says there's one difference between Mendenhall and the other top candidates.
Salt Lake City's last two mayors came to the job after service in the Utah legislature. Both Ralph Becker and Jackie Biskupski served in the state House of Representatives. In the current contest, Jim DeBacchus served 6 years as a state senator, and Luz Escamilla is a current member of the Senate with 11 years in the legislature.
Municipal elections in Utah are nominally nonpartisan, but the last Republican to serve as mayor of Salt Lake City was Jake Garn. In Montana today, crews are still searching for a missing Aura man. 20-year-old Caden Laga disappeared in a heavily wooded area while horseback riding on Sunday. One of the horses was having issues, so Caden decided to walk. He never met back up with his family at the trailhead. His family issued a statement this afternoon saying they still have not found him, but they will be doing another search tomorrow. KSL's top national stories this hour. Wall Street this afternoon reacting to a series of concerning economic indicators from overseas. Traders had their eyes on Germany and China, and the Dow dropped more than 800 points by the close. The 10-year U.S. Treasury notes dipped below the yield of 2-year U.S. Treasury notes. That signals a recession.
It has been a bellwether ahead for stocks previously and for recessions. In 2007, that is the last time you saw the yield curve go inverted. And Wall Street is always looking for signals, always looking for information. This is one piece of information, as is the fact that trade with China tariffs have been an uncertainty hanging over the market.
That is ABC's chief business and economic correspondent Rebecca Jarvis. So how should we react to this dramatic drop in stocks? ABC's Chuck Sievertson has short-term advice from one analyst.
First,
I would say the first thing you should do is just not panic.
And the second is pay attention, says J.J. Keenahan, chief market strategist, TD Ameritrade.
These are the types of things that play out over a few days.
If markets stay volatile and the trend is down,
we're going to want to look shorter term so that you can make decisions maybe in 30 or 60 days rather than in a year or two.
Keenahan says if you look at the last 2 days, the markets are near where they started. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.
Other national stories KSL is following. More than half the staff at the federal lockup where Jeffrey Epstein died by suicide was on overtime.
From midnight to 8 a.m. Saturday morning, MCC Manhattan was down a staff member. And of the 18 staff members present for their shift, 10 were working overtime. Security camera footage showed the guards failed to make welfare checks every 30 minutes as required. But logbooks were altered to make it seem like they did. A team from the Bureau of Prisons arrived to look into the way jail officials handled Jeffrey Epstein's detention and the decision to take him off suicide watch.
That is ABC's Aaron Katursky reporting.
Back to school.
Back to school.
As students head back to school in California, they may notice something new on their school ID cards. That story from ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles.
Middle and high school student IDs have an addition to them this school year. Under a new California law, student IDs for grades 7 through 12 must have the phone number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline printed on them. Pete Gibson has a son who's a freshman at a school in Fresno.
It's sad that we've come to this. I'm grateful that someone's being proactive about it. I'm very grateful.
Beyond putting the hotline number on IDs, schools are holding suicide prevention presentations and giving teachers new training on the subject. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
KSL News Time, 335.